I'm going to read from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 7 to 13. Calling the 12 to him, he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bag, no bread, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them.
Thanks, Jutta. Well, I just feel like, especially after that song, just feel like we ought to just bask a bit rather than just diving into more stuff. I so appreciate what Chris said right at the beginning, not about me. I'm not quite sure what he meant by all that stuff, but I was so glad that Chris just pointed us in the direction of, wow, we dare not take what God gives us here for granted. We dare not do that. Just singing that song and just looking around and just thinking, my goodness, isn't it something? Isn't it? Just that God has given us this privilege, this joy, this place. You know, it's even just reflecting back on what the two Erics said to us this morning in the video and just thinking back through all those years and just to have a testimony and a witness and a place here to be God's people. Now, that was a few generations ago back then. But now here we are in our generation, and God has given us this. My goodness. Let's be thankful and worshipful. And the angels cry, holy, holy, holy. And this is our God, and we are his people. And we dare not take that for granted. We dare not take that for granted. God is so good, folks. God is so good. In the midst of whatever it is, wherever you might be this morning, God is so good. Doesn't change it. In fact, he's just being good. He's being good in delivering us. He's being good in sustaining us. He's being good in teaching us, isn't he? Loving us and delivering us. My goodness. Let's be thankful. And I can't help just be just looking around the room today and seeing everybody here. And there was a whole boatload or busload, anyway, of Germans outside this morning. You should join me some morning and just stand at the door for a while. You just see amazing stuff. And it was this whole busload of German people. I heard them eventually picked up. They were German. And they were just watching everybody come in. And it was absolutely amazing. You know, all you guys and families and kids, and I could, then finally one guy just came up over to me and, you know, what is this place? Is this a church? Yes, it's a church. Come on in, you know, bring your busload of German friends into Carrubbers, you know, and join us and find out why this is so good. But I just look around and I just see God's blessing. Just so many countries, aren't we? Look around and just so many nations. So many nations, and I think back to God's promise to Abraham and that Jesus would be a blessing to the nations, and I see it here. I see it here, and we need to just grasp that with both hands, grasp it and use it for God's glory. Great to have friends with us here, just super, super, super to have Sarah and Bjorn here, so say hello to them or say Boni Dimignazzo or say Pace Numele Domini Iisus Christos or whatever to these guys. It's probably horrible Romanian that I have, guys, but I'm so good to have you guys here, and they're over in Romania serving the Lord, just amongst the gypsy people there, and just find out a little bit more, say hello to them, come out on Tuesday night, come and join us on Tuesday night when they share with us on Tuesday night. Got friends over there, at the Adamsons from the North Pole, I think, up in Shetland, friends back. We get that from time to time because so many people pass through here, just friends coming back. Andrew and Naomi, great to see you guys. And I think it's the Flanagan's last Sunday, so these guys are leaving on Friday. Is it Friday? So they're leaving on Friday back to Dublin for a couple of days with the folks and then back to Chicago for Noah and for some final medical stuff before heading back home, hopefully. So let's pray them home. Come out again on Tuesday night. These guys will be with us on Tuesday night. It's just so appreciated having you guys around. It's been so amazing. Great to have your kids run down the street. Another generation, the next, the lower generation of Flanagans running down the road to jump into my arms on a Sunday morning. It's been great just being a part of your journey and holding the ropes for you guys. So great things happening, folks. Great things happening. And let's pray for these guys. Pray them back to New Guinea. Okay, Mark 6. So if you have a Bible, turn to Mark 6. Let's go to Mark 6. And just journeying with Mark, really. Just following Mark, who's following Jesus. And just laying something out before us and helping us to see something of the life of Christ and his good news. So this is the way that Mark has written his account of the good news, the gospel account. So this is Mark's version of Christ's life. And Mark really just does move through his gospel. And we're in chapter 6 now. And so my title is, it's kind of following along with our Proverbs series on Sunday nights. We've been looking at wisdom for friendship and wisdom for marriage and wisdom for finances. And so I'm calling this morning wisdom for witnesses. What we're calling next year's mission for our outreach is, you know what we're calling it? We're calling next year's, what are we entitling this plug for us to get back out and visit some of our missionaries and go to some new places? What are we calling it?
Activate.
Activate. Why activate? Where does that come from? Activate. Acts 1:8. What does Acts 1:8 say? You need to know this because it's what we're basing next year's just kind of push toward mission again. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Wisdom for witnesses. You shall be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. And we've got guys here in our Jerusalem. We've got people here in our Judea, Samaria. And we're sending people literally to the uttermost parts of the earth. And it's been a wonderful, wonderful privilege to be a part of that. So there's Acts 1:8, and here in Mark 6 now, I'd like to suggest to you that this is a bit of a precursor to all of that. This is kind of something of the beginnings, the first steps of this great gospel pursuit that God is leading his people to. This is the precursor to this work to the ends of the earth, because after Jesus goes, after he leaves, after he dies for the sins of the world, and after he's buried in death for 3 days, and after he rises again to newness of life, guess what? These guys now that he's working with are going to be the witnesses, aren't they? They're going to be the witnesses, some of the first witnesses. Right now, Jesus is making disciples, right? That's what he's doing. They're in the classroom. He's making disciples. He's teaching them. He's walking with them. He's living with them. He's passing on truth to them. And he's making disciples. But after he goes, then they're going to go. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to make disciples. Who are going to make disciples? Who are going to make disciples? Until here we are, 2024. You get it? You get it? It's how it works. And how it works. It's how it works. And now we're the witnesses, aren't we? Now we're the witnesses for our generation who are going to make disciples, who are going to make disciples, who, come on guys, get with it, who are going to make disciples, right? Now it's our turn. Now it's our turn. And we're going to go to our world. Never on our own, always with his help. This is our great commission. Okay, however, at this point, Mark 6, at this point, it's just beginning, isn't it? And the teacher's still here. He's not gone yet. The teacher's still here, and he's working. His disciples now are just learning, all right? So how it goes is, I do, you watch. And then I do, and you help, and then you do, and I help, and then you do, and I watch, and then finally you do, and others watch. You get it? It's kind of basic discipleship, classic discipleship, right? And so here you go this morning, just three words, all right? Just three words that you need to remember this morning, all right? Trust, try, and truth. You got it? So all you got to do this morning is remember three words. You remember those? Okay, wipe them off the board. What were they? Trust, try, and truth. Okay, so that's where we're going to go this morning. All right, so number one here, trust. And I think probably there are a couple of levels of this happening here in this passage, a couple of levels of trust developing here. Did you see them? At least two. Maybe there's more, but at least two. First, we're told that Jesus sends his disciples out how? Twos, right? Two by two. He sends them out in pairs. Isn't that interesting? He probably could cover more ground if he sent them out alone. Fair? He could cover more ground if he sent them out alone. Often we look for the most efficient way to do things, don't we? We're trying to do a project. Often we look for the most efficient way of doing things. God knows the best way to do things. He sends them out here in pairs. Now, maybe he does that for company, maybe for support, maybe for safety, maybe for accountability, but maybe just to develop their relationships of trust. Learning to work together as God's people in relationships of trust. Is that not fair? Learning to work together and to trust one another. Because I think Jesus knows exactly who he's dealing with here. Don't you? He knows who he's dealing with here. Fallible humans. Probably a bunch of guys as well who are just saying, I can do it. Anybody like that this morning? I can do it, people. Any I can do it people here this morning? Remember when we were raising our girls? And they could do it. Remember that? Parents, they could do it. One of our girls in particular. I won't tell you which one. She's here at Carrubbers. That kind of gives it away, doesn't it? You know, and she's just a classic, I can do it. And she would say, Dad, can you help me with this? And I would say, well, I'll help you. No, I'll do it. And I would say, no, let me show you how to do it. And I would do it, and then she would just undo it and redo it. You know, I can do it, Dad, I can do it. And I think, that's just a human thing, isn't it? I can do it. Can we? And I just think it's really interesting what's going on here. Jesus knows he's dealing with people who are going to need they're going to need each other's help, and we're going to need to learn how to trust. If we can't trust each other, then what are we playing at? You know, we're God's people, and we're mobilizing mission. Whoa, man, that just sounds so good, doesn't it? And we're getting out there, and the summer's coming, and open air, and there is hope. And I did that once in another church, except there was a glass of water. And it went flying. Activate and all this kind of stuff. But if we can't go out trusting each other, if we can't trust each other, and listen, in order to trust each other, we all have to be what? Trustworthy. Trustworthy. And that's a big thing to develop in your life, a big characteristic in your life. So that's, I think, one of the levels of trust. But I think the most important thing going on here, the most important level of trust, the most obvious level of trust here, if you and I are going to go out into this crazy world and share the good news and make disciples for Jesus, man, we're going to need to know how to trust him, aren't we? We're going to need to know how to trust him. And so did you see what he does? This is really interesting. Did you see what Jesus does here? He says, I'm sending you out. So this isn't their idea. This is his idea. This is God's idea. The Great Commission, the sharing of the gospel, the going to the nations, all of that, the trusting him. This is God's idea. This is God's plan. A few of us were at a church planting conference this weekend. And one of the guys went yesterday, and he was just sharing with us probably the best quote of the day was when one of the guys was, he was talking about, you know, just mobilizing for mission and everything. He said, if you really want to make God laugh, then just tell him all about your plans. Right? Think about that. If you really want to make God laugh, tell him all about your plans and just watch him chuckle. And it doesn't mean the mind of man plans his way. Amen? The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. The Lord directs his steps. And so you need to just remember that, right? And we're going to go out there and we're going to do this. Man, we need to learn how to trust him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths. We love that verse. Why do we love that verse? Because it's so true. It just rings so true. We know it's true. And so here he is. He's going to send them out. And he says, I'm going to send you out, but I don't want you taking anything with you. Now, isn't that something? What's going on? I'm going to send you out, but I don't want you taking anything with you. What's going on? Does Jesus want me to run out of all my supplies and then perish? Is that what he's setting these guys up for failure? Somehow I don't think so. I think it's a whole lot deeper than that. In fact, I think it has everything to do with trust. Everything to do with trust, what he does here. I think these guys have the same defiant fault setting that we have in our lives. They have the same default setting that we have, self-reliance. So easy just to rely on yourself. I can do it. Right? Remember that? I can do it. Self-reliance. And so surely Jesus wants them to learn to lean on him. He wants them to learn to trust in him, to rely on him, to believe that he really will be enough for them. He will be enough for them. Right? And so he sends them out in this way. On you go, boys, he says. Look at this. On you go, he says, boys, and you can take your sandals. All right? I'm not gonna deny you something for your feet. Verse 9, you can take your sandals, he says here, but no extra shirts. You see that? It just seems weird, doesn't it? Passage just seems weird. It seems weird. Take some sandals, but no extra shirts. Really interesting. Sarah and I have been packing to travel to the States on Friday, and I've been trying to convince her that two pairs of underwear, a t-shirt, and some shorts are going to be enough for 2 weeks. I don't need to pack anymore. That's it. That'll be enough, sweetheart. Maybe just one pair of underwear. I don't know. But listen, you get what Jesus is saying here? Do you get what he's saying here? It's just weird. It just seems, and the commentators go around a little bit on this one, but you get what he's saying here? He's training them to trust. He's training them to trust. And maybe for us, it's not shirts and shoes or whatever. Maybe it's other things. Maybe it's finance. Maybe it's housing. Maybe it's health. Maybe it's obstacles. Could be loads and loads of stuff. But I think the bottom line is if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus and you're going to go to the world with the gospel, you need to trust him, not yourself. Not yourself. We're so I can do it, people. We're so I can do it. Right back to the garden. Aren't we? What did Satan tempt him with? Well, you could put it a bunch of different ways, but maybe you could put it this way. You can do it. You can do it. Right? Sounds good, in fact, doesn't it? Oh, man. Whoa. What did Chris say this morning? Macho? I don't know how he described me, but manly. I don't know what it is. Anyway, I love Chris. He always tells the truth about people. Right? You can do it. You can do it. You guys know this. I don't think there's a person in the room. Some of us would say, well, I'm not a really go-getter kind of. No, but I think you probably still have this in you. This is the root of sin, isn't it? Pride. We can do it. I can do it. Right back to the garden. You can do it. What do you need him for? We live in a world like this, folks. That's why they need the gospel. Amen? Because it's an I can do it world. The bottom line here is trust. Paul says to the Philippians, and my God will supply what? All my needs. All my needs. According to his riches in Christ, in glory in Christ Jesus. Not out of. So it's not like I've got all these riches, infinite riches, and I'll just give you a little deal. No, he doesn't use out of. He says, according to all my riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Wow, guys, this is good. Is that not enough? Is that not enough? Okay, so that's the first word. Second word. Try. Try. What's this all about here? Well, I think this now, this next bit, I think this is where for disciples, I think this is where learning turns to doing. With me? And this is where learning turns to doing for these guys. I do, you watch, I do, you help. Now you do. Now you do. It's got to be that way. When you make disciples, when you lead someone to Christ, when you get in the Word with somebody and you sit down in one-to-one and whatever, this is what you do. Some of you guys are just thinking, well, I don't really know much. Well, do you know John 3:16? Say, yeah, I know John 3:16. Great. Find somebody who doesn't know John 3:16 and share with them. And you're off. Right? Anybody can do this. Anybody can do this. And you go and you start. And now you do. You watch the master do it, you do it. Now somebody watches you do it, and then they do it. You get it? It's how it works. It's how it works. And listen, sometimes, and I think here's where you try now, and Jesus says, sometimes, you know what? It's going to go great. Sometimes you're going to do that, and it's going to go great. Sometimes you're going to do that, and it's not going to go great. Fair? You're going to go out to the world with the gospel, and sometimes it's going to work. Sometimes it's going to work. Right? It's going to go great. You're going to launch out into the gospel, and you're going to find that people really are interested. Have you ever seen that? You're going to find that people really, really are interested. I know that you've seen that because you're here. So it worked for you. It worked for you. How come if we're sitting here? I always think about this. How come we're sitting here, we love the Lord, we're singing all his praise, you know, the Lord is firing us up, and somebody shared the gospel once with us, and now look, we've got a room full of people here who love the Lord. And then we're all skeptical about whether when we share it, it's going to work. How does that work? So it's worked for you. Why wouldn't it work for somebody else? Right? You're here this morning. You're here, at least in body, you're here this morning anyway. And so Jesus says that you are going to find people who are going to listen. Maybe not always, but certainly sometimes you're going to find people that are going to listen. And he says here, when you do find people that are going to listen, he says, listen, go for it. Right? Go for it. Go for it. That's how it works. Go for it. You get in that house, he says, and you stay there. You see in verse 10? You get in that house, you find somebody who's listening, and you get in that house, he says, and man, you stay there. In Matthew's parallel account, he records Jesus saying, if you find a worthy person, is how he puts it. Somebody's listening. It doesn't mean worthy, that they're worth something and they've got a lot of money or whatever. Just you find somebody who's going to listen. And isn't that what we go for? Isn't that what we pray for? Right? Sometimes we get it on a platter. Sometimes somebody comes up to us and says, hey, I heard you're a Christian. Tell me about Jesus. What? What? Of course I will. Sometimes you dig a little deeper. You work a little harder. It takes a little bit more time. But it is going to worsen. You find that worthy person, Jesus says, stay in that house until you leave. My goodness, squeeze it dry. Squeeze it dry. Right? But listen, Jesus says, don't think that's what you're always going to get. Don't think that's what you're always going to get. Because sometimes you're going to be rejected. And sometimes you're going to be dismissed and disdained and discarded. You might even be dismantled. You know what I mean? People might just tear you to pieces. Really. And that's going to happen as well. And maybe we're more inclined to think that's going to happen all the time. And so we're not trusting. And we're not believing. I love that bit in 1 Corinthians 13 talking about love, where it says love believes all things. Isn't that interesting? And I've been asked by loads of people, what do you think that means? Believes everything, Buddhism, Hinduism. No, I don't think that's what he means. Love, Christ's love, God's love, believes the best. Believes the best. Why don't we do that? Why don't, you know, when we get out, when we're talking to, why don't you just believe the best? This is going to work. This is going to work. Lord, open the doors. This is going to work. This person's going to listen. Rather than just, oh, they're not going to listen. They're not going to listen. Right? Don't make other people's decisions for them. But it is going to happen, and there are going to be times where it's going to be tough, and the door's going to be slammed in our face. And what does Jesus say? He says, "Well, that's the time when you shake the dust off your feet and you move on. You shake the dust off your feet and you move on. You don't give up. You move on, but you don't give up. There's a big difference, isn't there?" Because sometimes we just give up. Well, it's not going to work. No, don't do it. You got one life. Only one life will soon be passed. It's only what's done for Christ will last. Just don't give up. Don't stop striving. Don't stop running. Don't stop giving. Don't stop serving. Don't stop speaking. Don't stop. Move on. There may be times when you have to move on, but don't give up. In fact, you can't give up. You can't give up. You know why you can't give up? Do you know why you can't give up? Because witnessing isn't something you do. A witness is who you are. Do you understand that? You can't give up, guys. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will do my witnessing? That's not what it says. And you will be my witnesses. Listen, guys, is that not good? That is who you are. That is who we are. We are ambassadors for Christ. Nothing will change that. Nothing will change that. It is who we are. We are witnesses. We are witnesses. It is not a question whether or not you are a witness. It is not a question whether or not you are a witness. You are a witness. As soon as you come to Christ, you are a witness. You know what it means to be his, and now you witness to it. That is not a question. The only question is, you're a witness. The only question is, what kind of witness are you? Fair. It's the only question. A good one or a bad one? It's the only question. And that's a really good question, I think. But here's the bottom line. Try. Try. He sends him out. Sometimes you're going to find peace. Sometimes you're not. Try. Try. I love the way Robert Morgan, he paraphrases what Jesus says to his disciples here. I love the way he puts it here. He says, he kind of paraphrases Jesus this way. Jesus speaking. You've been sitting around and listening to me long enough, Jesus says. Now I want you to go out knocking on some doors and trying your hand at preaching. Yes, I know it's a little threatening. Yes, I know it's outside your comfort zone. No, I'm not going to give you a lot of training in public speaking. I just want you to travel light. Don't take too many clothes with you because you'll have a hard time lugging around all those suitcases. Just show up and say a word for me. And if they listen to you, that's great. And if you fall flat on your face, then just dust yourself off and go to the next town and try again. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Very simple. Very simple. But you know these guys are not the finished product yet when he sends them out. You know they're not the finished product yet. In fact, until we leave this earth, we'll not be the finished product. Amen? You know these guys aren't the finished product yet. They're going to demonstrate that time and time and time again as we move on in Mark's gospel in the coming days. They're going to doubt. They're going to fail. They're going to be selfish. They're going to be scared. And ultimately, even the best of these guys, even the best of these guys are going to take off and leave Jesus standing in the lurch, aren't they? And Jesus knows that. And he sends them out anyway. He sends these guys out anyway. So it doesn't matter. Listen, you might be feeling this morning, not me. Well, you're in good company with the apostles. Not me. I think that's why almost every context like this, listen, I think that's why in every context like this where Jesus is sending his disciples out or it's going into spiritual battle or whatever, every time he sends out unlikely people like this, really interesting when he's sending out his disciples, that Jesus always seems to talk to them about authority. Have you ever noticed that? Track it. Track it. When he's sending out his disciples, he always seems to talk to them about authority. Really interesting. Right here, verse 7 and verse 13. Really interesting. Who's got the authority? He's sending them out. They're probably shaking in their boots. We've never done this before. I can't, I don't know what to say. I'm all right. Verse 7 and 13. Who's got the authority? You see it? It's always Jesus. It's always Jesus. It's never the enemy. It's never the enemy. He sends them out with authority over these guys. It's never the enemy that has the authority. It's never the state. It's never the rulers. It's never the powers. It's never the world forces of darkness. Listen, guys, it's always Jesus. It's always Jesus. You go out, he says, and I've got your back. Right? You go out. I'm sending you. You think, Lord, surely you can have a better plan than that. Nope, that's the plan. You mean us? Yep, that's it. You mean me? You got it. But Lord, no, 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 don't pull a Moses on me, right? No, but Lord, you, no, no, no. You go out, I've got your back. What do you want? What do you want? He's got your back. He's got your back. You think, oh, I'm not, I can't do, well, he's got your back. He's got your back. Incredible. What does he say when he sends them out for good after his resurrection? Remember? When he sends them out, we call it the Great Commission. What does he say when he sends them out for good? Matthew 28, what does he say? All authority. All authority in heaven and earth, he says, has been given to me, and I'm sending you. How's it make you feel? How's that make you feel? All authority on heaven, and I'm sending you. Come on, guys. Come on. And lo, what? I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Come on, guys. Come on. Okay, last word. Trust, try, final word, truth. Trust, try, truth. And I just think this is where it all goes. This is what it all comes down to. So what it all comes down to, because if we're going to be witnesses for Christ, if we're going to be witnesses for Christ, then my goodness, let's be witnesses to Christ. You understand what I'm saying? If we're going to be witnesses for Christ, then let's be witnesses to Christ, not to other stuff. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. Let's witness to that. Let's witness to that. Because if there's anything in the universe that has power, it's the truth. Amen? Anything in the universe. And guys, we've got it. We've got it. Do you know that? Do you know you've got the truth? The truth. The truth. You're a follower of Christ. You're an ambassador for Christ. You're a disciple of Christ. You're a witness for Christ. And you've got the truth. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? You got the truth. What are you afraid of? This is so powerful. It's so powerful. Be witnesses to Christ, not to our church, not to our programs, not to our abilities, not to our flavor of Christianity, but to Jesus. To Jesus. Be witnesses to Jesus. Because we mess things up, don't we? Not 140, 150 years of corruptors. I'll guarantee you 140 years ago they messed it up. Right? I guarantee you if you talk to Moody, he'd tell you he messed it up. Right? Fair? We met, so they weren't witnessing to themselves. They weren't witnessing to 65 High Street. That's not what they were witnessing to. They were witnessing to Jesus. You witness to Jesus, you got nothing to worry about. You got nothing to worry about. Jesus. Verse 12. And they went out and they preached that people should repent. Was it? That was it. They didn't need more than that. They witnessed to Jesus. And they went out and they begged people to turn from their false way of doing life to God's true way of doing life, repentance. They went out and they did that to change their minds about Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Luke's version of the Great Commission, Luke 24, 46, Luke says, so it is written that the Christ would suffer, rise from the dead on the third day, and that, listen, that repentance and forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And you are witnesses to these things. You get it? You are witnesses to these things. What's the point? The point is to keep the main thing the main thing. The point is to keep your focus. Keep your focus. Keep your focus. Right? Anybody been running recently? Anybody running marathons? What do they tell you about, you know, especially when you get to the end or you hit the wall? Focus, focus, focus. Keep your focus. Listen, we're running a far greater race, guys, with an imperishable crown. Amen? A far greater race with an imperishable crown. Keep the main thing. And yet, isn't it crazy how quickly we can drift? Isn't it crazy how quickly I can lose the plot? I know this stuff. How crazy I can lose the plot, my focus, purpose, objective, message, even lose my focus on the Lord. How crazy that is. Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Please, Lord. Please, Lord. Let me run the race with endurance. Right? Let me run the race with endurance. So I'm running at the end. I'm running. I might be physically running at the end. I'm not physically running anymore, period. But let me be running at the end. There's only one thing the Bible says will set us free. What is it? Truth. The truth. Trust, try, truth. The truth. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So Jesus sends him out. He sends him out with training wheels, doesn't he? He sends these guys out with training wheels. He's got, they're just, who are they? They know what they're not. He sends them out with training wheels, but he sends them out just like he sends us out. And here's at least three bits of wisdom for witnesses. Trust, try, and truth. And so here's the question. How you doing? How are we doing? By God's grace and his strength for the glory of God and the joy of the nations, how are we doing? You don't need to know everything. You don't need to be able to do everything. I think you just need to trust, you need to try, and you need to remain firm to the truth. Right? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness to us this morning. Thank you for your word to us this morning. Thank you for giving us all that we need for life and godliness. That's what you said. You give us all we need for life and godliness. You will give us all we need. Why, Lord, do we keep bothering about what we can just self-generate? And so help us this morning, Father, to look to Christ, to fix our eyes upon him, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is now at your right hand praying for us. Wow. Lord Jesus, thank you right now. Just thank you now. You're praying for us, praying for me, praying for all these folks here. You're praying for us, and you'll never stop. Never stop supplying our need. Never stop giving us all we need for life and godliness. Lord, help us to believe it. Help us to trust you. Help us to try, and help us to remain firm, committed to the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, Chris.
So many thoughts going through my head as Wayne's speaking there, but I won't share. But I think what I will share, when you hear this, when you experience what we've experienced, you know, the question says, how then shall we live? And I guess the one thing that really hit me, the song we're about to sing is sort of my response to that. And this was a song that was quite important in my own journey, and Karen mentioned 25 years in Scotland, and I think back to a day singing this song and hearing the voice of the Lord speak to my soul, and the words were simple: do you trust me? Do you trust me? I had no idea what I was doing. I'd like to say coming to Scotland was a romantic dream that I'd always had. No, I don't think I even knew much or anything about Scotland. I just knew that the Lord was asking us to do something. And those were the words, do you trust me? You know, and Wayne's really just hit that. So how should we respond? We should offer up our lives and say, Lord, they're yours. Let's sing this as we close this morning.
Offer up my life.
With a couple of therefores from Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And from Hebrews 13:15-16. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Amen. If you're visiting with us and you don't know, there is coffee served downstairs. Just turn right before you go out and down the stairs, and there'll be coffee and tea. But please do speak to folks. We have no clock here, but we got about a half an hour before the parking charges come on, so make the best use of that time. And thanks for joining with us this morning.